भगवतो अरहतो सम्मा संबुद्धस्स साधु साधु साधु। It's the 4th January 1992, the 8th day of our meditation retreat. We'll continue our Dhamma talk about the 5 mental faculties. Yogi must be endowed with these 5 mental faculties: faith, strong faith, strenuous effort, constant and a powerful mindfulness, deep concentration, and insight and enlightenment or wisdom. Sadha, Viriya, Siddhi, Samadhi, Panya. Out of these 5 mental faculties, yes, all of these 5 mental faculties must be strong and sharp, so that meditator can achieve his goal. Said Visuddhi Magga Athagata, the commentary, Visuddhi Magga commentary. To sharpen or to make strong these 5 mental faculties, there are 9 ways. The Visuddhi Magga, the commentary, mentions the 9 ways of sharpening or making strong the 5 mental faculties. But here I won't deal with it, but I can tell you 2 or 3 ways of making strong mental faculties. One is the first way of sharpening mental faculties is when you practice vipassana meditation and you are mindful of mental and physical process, you must bear in mind that with a deep concentration we will be able to realize the dissolution of every mental and physical process which is observed. None of our mental and physical process is permanent. None of the mental and physical process lasts very long. So every mental state, emotional state, physical process arises and passes away very instantly. Then it arises very instantly, it dissolved. So when our concentration is deep enough, we will be able to realize the dissolution of every mental and physical phenomena. With that view in mind, you should practice a vipassana meditation or mindfulness meditation. That is one of the seven ways. To make mental faculties sharp and strong. If you believe in the ever-changing phenomena, the ever-changing nature of a mental and physical phenomena, then you'll be able to easily realize the dissolution of a mental and physical phenomena which is observed. Then you are sadda, firm faith, strong faith becomes stronger. Then Virya is also become stronger. Mindfulness becomes more constant, more continuous and powerful. Then concentration deeper. Insight more penetrating and so on. In this way, the five mental faculties of a yogi is strong and sharp. The commentary uses the word tikha. Tikha here means sharp. Sharpening of the five mental faculties, we can say, is the seven ways. Then the second way is you must take the practice very seriously. You must take the practice very seriously. If you do not take it seriously, then you don't put enough effort in the noting and the practice. When you take it serious, that it's a very much important for us to realize this embodiment process and their true nature in destroying all mental defilement, achieve the cessation of suffering. So, for the attainment of Nibbana or the cessation of suffering, to practice mindfulness and meditation, vipassana meditation, is very, very much important. Then you bear in your mind that this mindfulness and meditation is enable you to lead to the cessation of suffering. So it's very important for you to live happily and peacefully. In this way you state it, you should take it seriously. Then you put enough effort in the noting and the practice. It's called Sakkaccha Kriyaya, Sakkaccha Kriyaya Sambadeti in Pali. Then the third way is Sattaccha Kriyaya Sambadeti in Pali. Sattaccha Kriyaya here means developing mindfulness constantly and continuously. Sambadeti means when the mindfulness is constantly and continuously developed, then your five mental faculties become sharp and strong. To make mindfulness a continuous constant, you should be aware of whatever arises in your body and mind as it really occurs moment to moment. Every moment you have to be mindful of. Then the mindfulness becomes a continued and constant. When mindfulness becomes continuous and constant, concentration becomes deeper, the insight becomes penetrating, more and more penetrating, then it realizes the process of a mental and physical phenomena as just a natural process, which arising and passing away one after another, passing away moment to moment. In this way, continuous and constant mindfulness makes your five mental faculties strong and sharp. The first five ways of sharpening of five mental faculties, which is mentioned in the Visuddhimagga Atthakatha commentary to Visuddhimagga. If you follow, or if you use all these three ways of sharpening of mental faculties, it's enough for you to achieve your goal, to attain the cessation of suffering. But out of these five mental faculties, the two twin faculties must be kept in balance. Those are Sadda and Panya, Virya and Samadhi, faith and insight, enlightenment or wisdom. Actually here it means wisdom. Then effort, strenuous effort and deep concentration. These mental faculties must be kept in balance so that you can easily and comfortably realize the true nature of material and metaphysical, mental and material phenomena. The commentary said, if Sadda is strong and Panya wisdom is weak, then that person may be credulous. That person may be credulous. He may easily believe in what should not be believed. Even incredible things or ideas, opinions, he may believe in it. Because he is prone to faith. So if he easily believes in what should not be believed, incredible things or ideas, he may take wrong path, which leads him to destruction. So that faith must be balanced with wisdom. To have some wisdom, he must learn some scriptures. He must listen to some discourses. He must discuss religious teachings with some competent teachers and so on. In this way, he can have some knowledge of Dhamma or religious teachings, wisdom. Then, because he has some knowledge of scriptures or religious teachings, he won't be able to easily believe in what should be, what should not be believed. Then he is not led to the wrong path. So he must have some knowledge of scriptures or some knowledge of Dhamma or religious teachings so that he can make the faith balanced with, kept balanced with the wisdom or knowledge. If his wisdom is too strong, knowledge is too wide and too deep, and if faith is weak, he may become a crooked man, thinking about reasoning anything he has experienced, thinking about he has experienced, comparing it with any preconception he has had. In this way, he may become a crooked man when his wisdom or knowledge of scripture is strong and the faith is weak, then he should read the discourses expounded by the religious teachers to make his faith strong enough. In this way, weak faith should be balanced, kept balanced with the panya or knowledge strong. Strong panya wisdom or knowledge of scripture must be kept balanced with the faith, strong faith. In this way, he can have some degree of faith in the right path or the true dhammas. Then he must, if his merit is the merited as a concentration is too strong, too deep, and effort is too weak. When we are mindful of any mental or physical process, his mind easily concentrated on the object of meditation because he has much experience or he has practiced about, say, 10 days or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So he can easily concentrate on any object of mental and physical phenomena. The longer he sits, the deeper concentration becomes. Then the concentration gets into the object more and more deeply. Then the meditators, that meditator's effort becomes legs and legs. Because he can concentrate his mind well on the object of meditation, even though he do not put any enough effort in the practice. The mind is easily concentrated on the object of meditation. So he do not note attentively or steadily. Then the effort becomes weak and weak. Because there's no driving force and the concentration of the mind, then the mind becomes dull, heavy, sluggish. Then the meditator becomes sleepy and he is overwhelmed by the hindrances, sloth and tapa, because of slackening of the effort or weakness of our effort. So the commentary said, if a meditator's concentration is strong and effort is weak, he may get into sleepiness and sloth and tapa. I think none of our meditators experience this state of mind. Yes. Why? Because concentration is not yet deep enough, not yet strong enough. Why is your concentration not strong enough? because of this, because this is just the beginning of the practice. 8 days is the beginning. But there are some meditators who have attained some degree of deep concentration and the insight that realizes mental and physical phenomena and their true nature. They are some meditator. They have some degree of deep concentration, not too deep concentration. So be careful. Do not let your concentration too deep. Yeah? Why? Because the concentration becomes too strong, too deep. What did happen? Huh? Sladen, tapa will come to you because the effort becomes less weak and weak. So without driving force, the concentration cannot last. Concentration cannot be maintained as it is. Gradually, concentration becomes weak and weak, and then it gets into sluggishness and sleepiness. But the remedy is very easy. If you feel your concentration is deep enough, you put some more effort in the noting, then there, because of the driving force, the concentration can last as it is. It can be maintained by a strenuous effort. Then again, in this way, concentration should be kept balanced with effort, strenuous effort. Then again, if the effort is too much or too strong, and the concentration is weak, then what will happen to you? The commentary said, if effort is too strong and concentration is weak, you have the danger of distractions and restlessness. It means that you can't concentrate well on the object of meditation because you feel restless and distracted. This happened to some of the meditators here. The day before yesterday, one of the meditators, having listened to Dhamma talk, in which I said, when you note thoughts, you should note it attentively, energetically, somewhat quickly, so that your noting mind becomes more powerful than the thinking mind. Remembering that point, he note thoughts. His thoughts are also too many. But he persistently, perseveringly note these thoughts very, very quickly and energetically. It means that she put too much effort in the noting of thoughts. Then his virya effort becomes
too strong. Then he can't concentrate well on the object of meditation. Thoughts are going on. He is striving to know them, to make them stop. Thoughts are very much stubborn. Then he becomes disquieted and becomes restless. And almost the whole day, he becomes restless and get tired. He got into a battle with the restlessness. Then he feels the whole body, especially in the head, and there's also throbbing in the head because of a restlessness. Then he thinks he was like a madman. He can't get any calmness and tranquility, serenity. He is one of the meditators here, but he does not know it's a defect. That's why concentrate, well concentrated, and to make thoughts disappear. So he strive, note more and more attentively and more quickly. Then one of his defects is he failed to know one point in my Dhamma talk. He missed one word. He missed one word. In my Dhamma talk, I said, if you note thoughts, you should note it attentively, energetically, and somewhat quickly. But he missed the word somewhat. So, being greedy to make thoughts disappear, he strive to know more and more quickly these thoughts. Then more and more becomes restless. Now he say, all right. Today he say, all right. Because he know what he missed. So, here in this example, too much effort makes the mind restless. Too strong effort makes the mind restless, distracting. Then this too strong effort must be kept balanced with concentration. With the concentration. How? He must reduce his effort. He should make his mind stable and steady. Reducing his effort and steadily observing what is happening there. Any mental state or physical state, physical process. Having proper attitude towards practice, his practice and his experience, that what I should do is just to be mindful of whatever arises in our mind, and when our mind and the body as it really occurs at the moment. That's all. Then he should be mindful of steadily, without too much eagerness, without too much greedy. Then effort becomes steady. When the effort becomes steady, he feels comfortable and happy with it. Then the mind becomes gradually concentrated more and more. In this way, he can attain deep concentration by reducing his effort, making it steady, being aware of what is happening calmly, comfortably. Then concentration becomes deeper and deeper. In this way, too strong effort must be kept balanced with the concentration. But out of these five mental faculties, the one can never be set too strong. Out of these five mental faculties, the one cannot be set to be strong, can never be set to be strong. What's there? Mindfulness. Yes, the commentary said, mindfulness can never be set to be strong. So, when you practice Vipassana meditation, attentively, noting attentively, energetically for day and night, say 24 hours, then mindfulness becomes more and more continuous, more powerful. Then you cannot say my mindfulness is too strong and too powerful. That's what the commentary said, because the more continuous mindfulness becomes, the more the deeper concentration you have. Then the more penetrating insight becomes, and the more you realize Bodhi-mind process and their true nature. So mindfulness, sati, cannot be set to be, can never be set to be strong. That's why I told you to strive to have a continuity of mindfulness for the whole day, constant and continuous mindfulness for the whole day. One of the meditators here asked me, Siaro, if a meditator practice this Vipassana meditation strenuously, intensively, 2 months, can his mindfulness become a continuous constant? Can his mindfulness become a continuous and constant? And you can give the answer to this question. If a meditator practices mindfulness meditation intensively for 2 months, can he have a constant and continuous mindfulness for the whole day? Yes, I told this yogi. I told this yogi. If he practice intensively, as he is instructed by his teacher, it's sure for him to have the continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day. Am I right? If you do not believe in what I said, you come to Chamyayita, my meditation center, and practice 2 months intensively, then you'll know this is true through your experience. Through your personal experience. I need not explain you. But in here, this is a Birgain retreat. You can't practice it 2 months because the accommodations are not vacant for 2 months. And also, I could not stay 2 months here. Yes, constant and continuous mindfulness is a vital needed to make progress in your meditation. That's why you have to lay stress on the awareness of our daily activities and more detail. When I conducted a 2 months of meditation retreat, near Oxford in England, the center is called the Oakenhold. About 80 meditators participated in that retreat. That's a 2 months retreat. One of the American monks, about 30 years old, participated in the retreat. He hasn't time enough to go through all the 2 months discourse, because he was doing his doctorate thesis. So he has only 1 month. But from the day he was instructed to meditate and listen to the discourses on the practical exercise of Vipassana meditation. From that time on, he very carefully observes daily activities, such as sitting, bowing down, sitting down, rising from the seat, stretching of the arms, bending of the arms. At the time he lived in Chittahat Monastery, the Venerable Sumedho's Monastery. His name is Kittisara. He never missed any activity or any movement mindfully. About 1 month's meditation, he has reached the 11th stage of insight knowledge. That's the insight knowledge of equanimity. Your mind is very stable in that stage. Neither happiness nor unhappiness affect the mind. Neither sukha or nisa nor dukkha affect the mind. The mind stay in the middle. So it's called inside knowledge of equanimity. He has reached this stage in 1 month's meditation. Then when he was about to leave the retreat, he came to me to say farewell and to bow down to pay respect to me. Before he paid respect to me, bowing down, he said, "Venerable sir, without awareness of daily activities, meditation is nothing. I remember that word. You should not remember that word." The sentence, "Venerable sir, without awareness of daily activities, meditation is nothing." He say he had this saying through his experience, personal experience, because he strived to be mindful of all daily activities as much as possible and more and more detail. He has reached the 13th stage of inside knowledge. It's difficult for a meditator to reach this stage in a month's meditation, because he has continuous and constant mindfulness for the whole day by being aware of all daily activities in more and more detail. He has attained this stage of equanimity. Now, we also expect now some of our meditators to reach that stage of inside knowledge of equanimity. That's why we conduct 1 month of meditation here. There may be many meditators who will reach the stage of equanimity. I hope so. Do you believe? Yes. If meditators like the American monk Kittisara, believing in the value of awareness of daily activities, then they will strive to be mindful of all daily activities as much as possible, slowing down their actions and movements. Then they can have a detailed awareness of mindfulness of a daily activity, and their mindfulness becomes continuous and constant and powerful. Then they can be expected to reach the stage of inside knowledge when retreat is over. Then we should see. These are the five mental faculties, which is called Pancha Indriyas. Pancha Indriyas in Pali, which every meditator must be possessed of, and make them strong and sharp, and making them kept balanced. If you are able to make these five mental faculties strong enough, you can drive out any of the hindrances which comes into your mind. When the hindrances is driven out, then your mind is purified from these hindrances. Because the mind is not disturbed by any of the hindrances. What are the five hindrances? Ill will, and then sloth and tapa, and then sexual desire, and then restlessness and worry, restlessness and remorse, and then skeptical doubt. Yes. Skeptical doubt. Today one of the meditators told me about her doubt. In the last Dhamma talk, she said she listened, she rightly understand the five hindrances. Out of the five hindrances, he has the last one. She has the last one. What's that? Skeptical doubt. But she doesn't have skeptical doubt, but she has doubt. Not about the Dhamma, but about her ability to make progress in her meditation. She said. Then, why should I say, why should I remark about her doubt? You see, because she has weak effort in her practice, she doubt about her ability to make progress. If she put enough effort in the practice, she need not have a doubt about her ability to make progress. Am I right? Yes. Yes. So I told her, if you practice this meditation intensively, put enough effort in the practice, she need not have her doubt about her ability to make progress. She's sure to reach any higher stage of insight knowledge, maybe the 13th stage of insight knowledge. Not only she, but also the other meditators too. If they put enough effort in the practice, making mindfulness a continuous and constant focus for the whole day, by being aware of all daily activities, slowing down all actions and movements, they can reach the 13th stage of insight knowledge of equanimity. Yes, you are hopeful. Hopeless or hopeful? Hopeful, yes. Then this is a purification of our mind, citta visuddhi. When the mind is well concentrated on the object of meditation, by being aware of all mental and physical processes very attentively, then it's free from all kinds of hindrances. Then it becomes purified. When you have attained the purification of a mind, citta visuddhi, then you begin to attain the insight that penetrates into the first of all, the specific characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena, and also begin to distinguish between nama and rupa, mental phenomena and physical phenomena. Because the insight that arises together with the concentrated mind, purified mind, becomes penetrating in shape, powerful. So they begin to realize the specific or individual characteristic of a mental and physical phenomena, and also distinguish between nama and rupa, mental process and physical process. Suppose you practice walking meditation. By being aware of the very beginning lifting movement of the foot, following the process of a movement of the whole step with mind very closely and precisely, gradually your concentration, your mind becomes concentrated more and more. That is, if you do not look around here and there, even though you strive, you put enough effort in the noting of the movement of the foot, if you very often look around, what happened? Concentration very often breaks and becomes weak. Then it can't be concentrated on the movement of the foot very well. So, without looking around, when the desire to look around arises, note it until it has disappeared. In this way, his concentration becomes concentrated on the movement of the foot gradually. Then, first of all, his foot becomes light. His stepping is very much satisfied. He is pleased with his stepping because it becomes a light. He enjoys it, but not very much. Why? If he enjoys it too much, then his attachment makes him trouble. So he is pleased with his stepping. Then he come to realize there is the mind that there's the lifting movement, and there's the mind notes it. There's a pushing movement, there's the mind that noticed. There's a, the drop-in movement, there's a, the mind notes it. In this way, he come to differentiate between the note in my mental process and the movement of the foot, physical process. Here in this state of experience, he is still aware of the form of the foot and the form of the body, but he differentiate between the note in my and the movement of the foot. The note in my is nama, the movement of the foot is rupa. Then he come to realize, he come to differentiate between nama and rupa. When this insight becomes more and more powerful, then he is not aware of the form of the foot. What he is realizing at that moment is just the note in my and also the movement of the foot. Sometimes when he proceed with his strenuous effort, then his concentration becomes deeper, then he may feel his body is like a robot. That means the removal of the idea of a personality, individuality. Time's up. May all of you strive your best to achieve your goal and accordingly attain the cessation of suffering, Nibbana.